Hi, I'm Grant Armstrong, and I get to serve as directing pastor here at St. John's United Methodist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. We exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our desire is to be a beacon of faith and service, focusing our passions and gifts to reflect Christ's love to the world. You're invited to join us each week at 9 a.m. for a time of traditional worship or at 11 a.m. for contemporary worship. Thanks for joining us for this online version of the sermon.
This morning's lesson is from Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day Moses solemnly promised me, 'The land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God.' Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, and as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said." So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Previously, Hebron had been called Kiriath Arba. It had been named after Arba, a great hero of the descendants of Anak. And the land had rest from war. This is the word of the Lord.
A few years ago, I had to visit a chiropractor to help me deal with some injury that I experienced from a mission trip where I was carrying loads of shingles up a ladder to a roof. And this was due in part because I had grown in age and had failed to work out for several years. And so there was a portion of my spinal cord that was functioning as kind of a fused unit instead of individual bones that were supposed to be flexible, and we had to do something to work that out, and I had to work on that a little bit. And so I went through some adjustments, and then I had to do some exercises to regain flexibility. And my lovely oldest daughter looked at me doing my exercises, and she laughed at me. She made fun of me and called my isolation chair stretching old man exercises. And I didn't really enjoy that, partly because I felt like it was true. But during PE one day, my precious child was injured. She heard something pop in her back, and so I took her to the chiropractor. And do you know what she had to do to help her recover? Those same old man exercises that I was prescribed. Now, I'm a strong proponent of grace and mercy. I do not believe in karma, but I do believe that was funny. We're all mostly better, although Lily would tell you that I still suffer from the affliction of old age. Now, I know the early 40s is not super old, not like it was when I was a teenager when early 40s seemed really, really decrepit. But I do notice that my appreciation for what God has taught me over these years has certainly increased. And my appreciation for those who have been troopers on this life journey has increased as well. So if you find yourself in the time of life where you are a seasoned saint, then today we're going to talk about how you might make the most of it. And if you're not in that season, then we're going to talk about how we can appreciate and be blessed by those who are. That leads to our first lesson from today's scripture. Caleb's remind us of God's promises and power. Caleb's remind us of God's promises and power. Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore Canaan. I returned and gave from my heart a good report, but my brothers frightened the people and discouraged them from entering the promised land. I followed the Lord my God completely. So Moses promised me, 'The land on which you are now walking will be your special possession, and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God." This is a powerful passage. The people of Joshua and Caleb's generation had passed away. Many of them were fearful. Many of them were whining and complaining in the wilderness. They were essentially a very small number of holdouts from that generation that would be entering into the promised land. And so they were serving as the memory points for that new generation, the ones who witnessed firsthand God's promises being fulfilled. They were mentoring this new generation in the faithfulness of the Lord. I've got some strong mentors in my life, people who have walked this path of faith well before me. I've got mentors for ministry and for family and for manhood. I won't call them old-timers, but many of them are at least a little older-timer than I am. They're people that I call when I've got celebrations. They get excited with me. Maybe it's because I'm sharing the news of the kids getting good report cards, or I got to witness God doing something great in the life of a member of the congregation, and I can call, and they'll find joy with me in that. They're also the folks that I call when I'm going through some sort of gut-wrenching nightmare. If somebody in my family finds themselves hospitalized, or there's a puzzler that's challenging me that I can't quite piece together, they'll pray with me. Maybe they'll offer me some comfort, maybe they'll guide me, but I always benefit from their wisdom. They tell me which of my mountains are actually molehills and which of my hills might be worth dying on. They remind me of things like my call, my marriage vows, and my core values. They've been by my side for many years, and so they remind me of who I am. They call me to integrity by living out their integrity in front of me. And I cannot put a price on the value that they offer to my life. For those folks, I tend to connect with Calebs. They're the folks who have the battle scars from years of putting themselves on the line for something they believe in. And through that, they have some perspective. They remember what they're doing when everybody else seems like they might be wandering in the wilderness, and they remind everyone of their task when folks seem to be lost in the desert. They remember that they didn't just start this journey for the sake of wandering, but to win the victory that God had promised them. And they know the sacrifice required for victory is high, but when it's for the right things, they know it's worth it. If you've been a part of this life of faith for a while, you probably have built up some scars of your own. These scars tell the stories of battles fought, some you'll never forget, some you wish you never entered into in the first place. Others, you might not know whether or not it was worth it on this side of eternity. And then maybe there are some that you've plain old forgotten about at this point, and you're entitled to that. Maybe you have some fight left in you. But regardless, you sure have gifts that God has given you for the benefit of the body of Christ. That leads to our second lesson this morning. Calebs have the perspective to live into their gifts. Calebs have the perspective to live into their gifts. Caleb goes on, "Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, and has promised, as he has promised for all these 45 years since Moses made me this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today I'm 85 years old. I'm just as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then." Sounds like a Toby Keith song. Toby Keith singing about aging. It contains lament and celebration of a man who has some real fight and fire in his past, but some hard-earned perspective in his present. I'm with him. I ain't as good as I once was. That's a cold, hard truth. But I know better now, through my limitations, what gets and deserves my very best effort and time and attention. That's part of the gift that time brings. Knowing you can't be everywhere and do everything. And so you got to make some choices. You get to choose some priorities. You've got something in you. So what will you do with the something you've got? And that's one of the gifts that Calebs bring, the gift of working harder and smarter. Several months ago, I was out in the yard with a group of guys from the church, and our job, this group of nearly retired men and me, our job was to take a great big stack of tree branches and trunks and things like that and to move them from the ground onto a trailer so they could be shipped off somewhere and mulched. That was our role for the day. Now, I'm slightly younger than these conquering heroes I was working with, but I sit at a desk too much. And I was feeling it that day. These seasoned gentlemen knew how to get things done without injuring themselves terribly, causing cardiac distress, or wasting energy on inefficient labor. I also got to see this past week a group of ladies, many of whom are in or near retirement age, actively toting loads and loads of treasures to place on tables for the indoor yard sale. Some of that stuff was really heavy, and regardless of the actual weight of some of those things, there was sure a lot of it. And they worked hard to transport and display all of those things. And they were wise enough to use carts and other helpful tools for that task, but still, if you ask any of them, I bet what they did felt like real work. Some folks have and use that kind of strength well into their later years, but not all have that kind of physical prowess. But if you've ever seen the film The Matrix, how many of you have seen the film The Matrix? 1999 that came out, 20 years ago. Yeah, thank you. You know that strength isn't all about muscles in The Matrix, and it's certainly not about muscles in the kingdom of God. There are other ways that we show strength. One of those is the gift of lifting the arms of others. There's this passage in Exodus 17 where Moses was commanding Joshua to lead the Israelite army into a battle against the Amalekites. And so Moses' role was to stand on top of a hill, on top of a mountain, and to lift up the staff of God. And whenever Moses would lift the staff of God, the Israelite army would advance. And whenever Moses would lower the staff of God, the Israelite army would then retreat. And so as the day went on, lifting up the staff of God became more and more difficult. And so what happened was, this is in Exodus 17, starting at verse 12, Moses' arms finally became too tired to hold up the staff any longer. And so Aaron and Hur found a stone for Moses to sit upon, and then they stood on each side, holding up his hands until sunset. And as a result, Joshua and his troops were able to crush the army of Amalek. This is one of the ways that the church works well together. There are folks who have a God-given task to accomplish, and we aren't meant to do it on our own. Older folks know what struggle looks like. Maybe seeing a struggling mom or a struggling student or a struggling executive or teacher or you name it. They know what struggle looks like because they have seen it. They have been through it. And their eyes are maybe attuned, focused to spot those struggles. And if you see a struggle, God gives you a chance to lift the arms of others. Maybe through some encouragement. Maybe a kind word. I see your effort, and I want you to know that what you're doing is important. Keep at it. Your kids are so active at this stage, but this season doesn't last forever. Hang in there. I know that there's a lot of pressure at work right now. Give it your best while you're there and keep your principles. You can't buy good character, and you certainly don't want to sell it out. Those words, that encouragement, just letting somebody know that they're seen can go a long way. Sometimes that's flipped around, though. Sometimes the task belongs to the older saints, and they need the encouragement and help from others. See, if you've been doing for yourself for a long time, then there's injury to pride that comes from asking for help. And getting older can be a real jerk about that, right? There are folks in the lives of older people who want them to get canes and walkers and in-home care and then to move out of their homes to live in assisted living. And it all gets a little rough on the old dignity. But part of this gift that we bring at this stage of life is humility. By letting other people bolster our strength for the battles that are still to come. And as annoying as they can be sometimes, having folks there to lift your arms during those times of trial are a gift from God. There's another gift, the gift of bending their knees. And that may not be physically bending their knees, because I know when people get older, that I hear gets harder and harder. But there's something about showing strength in weakness. This is something that the Apostle Paul found, and we read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. When Paul was experiencing what he referred to as a thorn in the flesh, he said, "Each time as he prayed to God, God responded, 'My gracious favor is all you need. My grace is more than sufficient. My power works best in your weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may work through me. Since I know it's all for Christ's good, I'm quite content with my weaknesses and with insults and hardships, persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" I think Paul stumbled onto something, that it's not our physical capacity that shows the greatest strength. Sometimes it's our reliance upon God that allows God to show how strong our Lord truly is. And to that, I think we undervalue prayer. I think sometimes we overvalue the impact of our human effort and undervalue this gift of prayer. I believe each of us are called to be a part of something that God is seeking to accomplish, these God-sized missions and ministries that we are a part of. And I'm not just interested in what I can do for God or what you alone can do for God, but I am deeply interested in what God can do through my life or your life when we gather together to listen intently and to surrender completely before the Lord. I've seen folks who used to be heavy hitters in the church and at their homes when it came to things like maintenance or in cooking or in teaching and caring for kids. And then as time goes on, they become more and more physically limited and they fear they're not contributing much to the work of their households or their churches or their communities anymore. But I assure you, physical limitations do not limit Christ at all. At all. If you have the presence of mind to lift people and this church, and this community, and our world to the Lord in prayer, you are a part of doing something that is very profound, and don't for a second discount the importance of travailing in prayer, as the old-timers called it. One of the last lessons that we can learn from today's scripture is, Caleb's finish well. Caleb's finish well. Caleb goes on, I'm asking you to give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You remember as scouts, we found the Anakites living there in great walled cities. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. And so Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave Hebron to him as an inheritance. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Caleb chose something that was harder, and he followed it through. This is something that we get to see in Caleb's, the courage that comes with finding God trustworthy throughout their lives. You may have noticed up on the platform here with me this morning are a couple of robes. These robes belong to a couple of people who were Caleb's in my life. The robe to my right, this white robe here, belonged to the Reverend Ralph Phillippe. There was some frustration at the Methodist church he was serving at the time in his retirement over the choir's modesty rail. It was mobile in the fact that it wasn't bolted down, but it was bulky and it was unsightly, and it was terribly anachronistic for the multiple services that met in that space. And one day, when somebody was griping about it for the last time, Ralph said, "Don't say another word." Somebody said, "What are you going to do, Ralph?" And Ralph's response was, "The less you know about it, the better." And that was the last time anybody saw the modesty rail. Now, first of all, in Ralph's late 70s, nobody could pin that on him. There was not a soul who could figure out what exactly happened to it. There were lots of speculations and stories and myths, but nobody ever figured out exactly what happened. But secondly, a scolding from some folks who loved that particular piece of furniture is not the hardest day that that old Navy man had ever experienced in his life. Ralph, in his later years, chose to go with the church on a mission trip to Honduras. He admittedly did not have a lot of cultural awareness, and he would have told you that the only Spanish words he knew were adios and gratchets. That was it. But he wanted one more battle. He wanted one more way of serving boldly, and so he, in essence, asked God to give him the hill country. He couldn't do any medical ministry, but he was accustomed to being up on roofs and doing that kind of work for widows in the congregation, and so he went down to Honduras and was doing roofing. He was helping to put a roof on one of the spaces that they were building, and during that time of construction, he fell from the roof and landed on the concrete below. He suffered traumatic brain and skull injury and was eventually transported back to the U.S. with diminished capacity. That's not how I choose to remember things. He ultimately gave all that he was, doing what he loved, even offering his well-being and safety in service to strangers in the name of Jesus Christ. To my left, this robe here belonged to Reverend Marshall Semingson, another U.S. Navy man and faithful United Methodist pastor. He raised a family, and he raised a family who produced a wonderful granddaughter who I would one day marry, with Marshall Semmingson as one of the officiants. That granddaughter would drag me to church when I was reluctant to go and pray that I would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. In his later years, when he was serving east of here over in Mulberry Grove, which was one of the three churches that he would serve in his retirement, we would go and visit him every now and again, and then after services, we'd head over to the Powhatan in Pocahontas. How many of you have been to the Powhatan in Pocahontas? Try the onion rings, they're great. So we would go there, and he would sit down, and before the meal, he would pray, and he would pray in such a loud and booming voice that there was no question in the restaurant that a blessing was being called upon from a mighty God, and everybody knew that Jesus was present with us. Even when Marshall was in a nursing home and he didn't always have the presence of mind that he had as a younger man, he was still preaching salvation through Christ to anybody who would listen. Nurses, techs, housekeeping, you name it. If you came around, he would preach Jesus up to the very end. Marshall finished well. I get to wear these robes every once in a while for special high church occasions around here. The robes, they fit a little small on me, and yet I know it's going to take years for me to grow into them. You probably have garments, too, that will take you some time to grow into. Caleb's remind us all of the promises that God makes over us, the mission Jesus has given us. Caleb's help us to see that God proves strong through us, even in our advancing years. And Caleb's remind us what it is to finish well, glorifying God to the very end. And so if God sees fit that you would have many years, I recommend that you would live them as a Caleb. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we are so thankful for the people that you have given us, these mentors of all ages, those who have shown the faithfulness of your love through the years, those who show us the new and innovative thing you do, those who care for us in our times of need. God, you have given us such a beautiful breadth of people in your church. And Lord, help us to grow in appreciation for each and every one of them, to offer ourselves in service to one another, just as we offer ourselves in service to Christ. God, we thank you. We thank you for these people that you surround us with, for the love that we get to share with one another, because you have first shown that love to us. What a gift it is. We give you our thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.